Good morning to our Central Baptist Church family, friends, as well as viewers that are tuning us in live this morning. This is June the 21st of 2020, and also a very special day. Not only is it the Lord's Day, a time when we have the opportunity to come together and worship Him, but it is also Father's Day. So one of the things that we normally do, historically, we've had a little gift or something to give to our fathers, but with the particular COVID season that we have that's taking place and going on, we try to not do anything that is high touch. But here's one of the things that we do want to do. If you are a dad here today, and if you're able, whether you're here, whether you're outside on the lawn, whether you're over in the sanctuary, or even if you're tuning in from your living room, if you are a father, would you please stand and let us take this moment to recognize you and tell you happy Father's Day. Let's give all of our dads a great big hand as we come together today. Guys, what a blessing. We know that sometimes it seems like it's an unappreciated field of endeavor, but we love you. Hopefully we will be able to make it up to you along the way, and not being able to present you just a little something to show our love to you on this glorious, glorious Father's Day. Let's open up in a word of prayer as we begin our worship. Father God, we thank you so much for this opportunity to come together today. Lord, we're thankful for dads all over the world. Lord, those who have taken your word and their walk serious with you, and they've been examples to their children. But Lord, today also we think about those whose fathers had done a stellar job raising them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, but are no longer with them. Lord, we think about those today as well who would love to be able to have the title Father, but have not been able to do so yet. Lord, I pray that you would just work within their hearts and help them to understand what your plan and what your will for their lives may be. Today, as we come together and we do so around your word, Lord, may we truly see a wonderful, wonderful example of what a godly father truly should be like. So bless our time, Father, bless all that we do, as we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. By the way, for those of you who may be viewing today or watching the simulcast, we don't have another camera. We couldn't get our wind ensemble all up here so that you'd be able to see them, but you're going to hear them. So if you will, pray for our wind ensemble as they present our music this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. You know, as we come together today, we realize that our world is in a rather turbulent position at this particular time. And I've actually had questions from some of our younger men and some of those folks that I have met in the highways and byways as of late. And what's been asked, the question has been asked, you know, they say, well, how do you raise children in a society like we're in? I've actually had some say, you know, I'm almost afraid to have children in this particular day and age because I know and see what's taking place. I see what it is that they're going to have to go through, and I see the hardships that they have along the way. Now, if you have your Bible this morning, go ahead and turn with me, if you would, to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to actually use a couple of different scriptures, but the main scripture that I want us to look at today is Hebrews chapter 11, and the historical content of this passage actually comes from Genesis chapter 6 and chapter 7. And we want to take a look at a father today who also was living in times that were turbulent, who was also raising children in a world that was completely contrary to the things of God. And I think if we're honest with each other, we could look at things right now and say that this world is not looking in the direction of our Lord and Savior to live their life by. We're not operating off of a biblical worldview in these days. And that's what makes things so tough and so hard. But when we think about Noah, when we think about the circumstances and situations that were surrounding his life, when we think about the issues that were taking place in that particular day, I always like what the scripture says. It says that for the return of the Son of Man, it will be as in the days of Noah. So we're going to look at what that attitude was back in those particular day, compare it to our day, and I trust and pray that it will come across to each and every one of us as a warning that time is short. The time of his return is at hand. But in Hebrews chapter 11, we get a scripture passage that tells us about Noah. It talks about his particular faith. Look at Hebrews 11, verse 7. Hebrews 11, verse 7 says, "By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith." Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we pray that as we look at your word, Lord, as we consider the life of Noah this morning, that we will be able to make application to our lives in our day and age. Lord, that we will look at parenting skills as dads, and we will see the things that are most important when it comes to raising our children in a very turbulent time and in a very turbulent world. So, Lord, right now, I just pray that you would truly be with me as your speaker of the moment. And, Lord, I pray that you and you alone truly will be exalted during this time. Lord, I pray that you will work in the hearts of men. I pray, Father, that you will strengthen us and encourage us. Lord, that you will lead us to repentance, that you might fulfill us with all of who you are, that we might be about your business in this world. Bless our time, Father, as only you can, as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I mentioned before, that was kind of a descriptor of Noah's life, but if you can hold your finger there, you don't have to, but if you can, go ahead and turn back also to the book of Genesis chapter 6. This was back in the beginning of time when all things were taking place, and it starts to give a narrative about what was taking place in those particular days. It talks about, yeah, how the earth began to multiply with people, and also another one of the things that we wanted to consider, and another thing that we wanted to look at when it comes down to these particular things, is you have to understand that at that particular time, scholars believe that there were only about 1 million people on the face of this earth. So that's one of the things that we often forget. We think about the billions of people that we see today, but the population was said to be somewhere in the neighborhood of around a million people at that time. But it says that as the earth began to multiply, as children began to be born, and as they began to be raised, they began to turn away from God. Now, if you look at Genesis chapter 6 and you go down to verse 5, it says, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Man, that sounds exactly like where we are today, doesn't it? Yeah, all the thoughts, you look at the, you can't pick up a newspaper, you can't watch the news without watching some sort of contention and seeing some sort of evil that is being propagated all the way around. And what sort of attitude does that create with our Lord? Look at verse 6, it tells you, it says, "And the Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart." As God saw this hatred, as God saw all the evil that was taking place and all of the evil that was going on, what took place at that point was God said, you know, I almost wish that I didn't make mankind. Now, that's another message for another day when people ask that question, well, can God change his mind? It tells the position of his heart because of the evil that was in men. So the Lord is always a Lord of action. Verse 7 says, "So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and bird of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them." But verse 8 gives a little difference. It says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Out of all of the people on the face of the planet in that particular day and age, only Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So when we look at that and we think, what kind of an example should I be as a father? What kind of an example should I be as a Christian? Noah is a really, really good place to start looking. You got to think about what the characteristics and what qualities that he showed forth that kept him in favor with God amidst a very, very turbulent time. You know, as we've read this passage, we know of the ridicule that Noah went through, because we know the story. I mean, if you've been around anything spiritual at any point in your life, we've heard the story of Noah and the big boat, and it never even rained before this particular time. And God tells Noah to go and build this gigantic boat, and it wasn't even near water. I mean, can you imagine what that must have been like? The people coming by laughing at him, pointing a finger and saying, this guy has completely, you know, lost his mind. Why is he even building a boat out here? Why so big? And the word talks about how he had received ridicule from the people along the way in the midst of his project. But let's look at his life for just a few moments. What were the qualities that he had that helped him to find favor with God that are great examples for you and I today, great examples for fathers to follow? Well, one of the things that we see in verses 8 and 9, go back to verses 8 and 9 of Genesis 6, it says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a man perfect in his generation. Noah walked with God, and that is what I want you to see right there. Noah walked with God. I mean, how many of you all would say, in a little interaction this morning, that it becomes more and more difficult to walk as a Christian in this society today? How many of you believe that? You see that in your workplace. You see that in your neighborhood. You see that even in relationships that you have with what's taking place. People look at you like you've got three heads when you say that you're a Christian. It causes you to be left out of certain things because they're like, well, you know, if this person's really going to live what they believe, if they're really going to live by what the Word of God says, then I don't want to have anything to do with them. So it's almost like a gigantic bunch of peer pressure in the lives of each and every person as we go through this life. But I like what the Word has told us. The Word has told us, and I issue this challenge today. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Are you going to serve God, or are you going to serve man? Because if you're serving man, then you're serving something other than God, which means that you're serving the devil. So which is it going to be? Dads, today I'm asking you, are you going to do what is right in regard to your family, in regard to your children, in regard to your home? Will you be that dad that leaves a legacy, a godly legacy? Here's the thing. It is up to you to teach your children to have a godly worldview. Right before we went into this pandemic, that was one of the things that we were talking a lot about. You know, Pastor David had gone through a whole bunch about what a biblical worldview meant. And to put it really simple, in the most simple terms that we can, it means that we live our lives based on the Word of God. It means that our actions every day, not just on Sunday, but our actions every day of our life reflect what the Bible tells us in regard to how we should walk and how we should talk. That when people see us, they don't see us, they see Jesus. So dads, as well as moms, it is up to us to teach our children. And the best way to teach our children is how? By example. I've said this many, many times over, and I will continue to say it. Don't just drop your kids off at church. Go with them. Take them. Be that set of parents who is sitting with your children, being exposed to the Word of God, that they might have the chance to come to know Him, that they may have the chance to give their heart to Jesus. And here's what I want to say, and I go on record today to say, that is the absolute most important decision that you can ever make. That is the most important thing that you will ever, ever, ever do in this life, is trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. The Word tells us, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Let me tell you something. It's all right to teach your children how to be a success in this world, but it is far better to teach them how to be a believer in this world and how to trust the Lord that success may come from God, because there is an afterlife, there is an eternity, and you will spend it in one place or the other. You will either spend it in this place called heaven or this place called hell. And we are busy, man. I'm telling you, in 2020, we are busy teaching our children how to be a success based on earthly standards. How much money can you make? Yeah, how much position and power can you gain along the way? And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that, as long as it is kept in the proper perspective. And folks, the problem is we get that upside down. We spend our whole lives teaching our kids how to be a success in business and how to climb that ladder of success. But we leave out the most important thing, and that is the following of our Lord and Savior, the example that we need to set, not only for them, but the example that they will set with their friends, with their family, with their children. Folks, I've said it before, and you know it. Some of you who are listening today are grandparents. Some of you remember raising your children, and you remember, you know, we've said this many, many times, that a lot of you out there, like me, had a drug problem. You were drugged to Sunday school. You were drugged to church on Sunday morning. You were drugged on Sunday night. You were drugged to Awana. You were drugged on Wednesday evening to prayer meeting. You were drugged to camp. All these different things. That's why I say that was a drug problem. And you know, the times that we didn't necessarily enjoy it, the times it was like, I don't want to go today. Now, I've said this 1,000 times. When I grew up, we had 3 channels. Can I get an amen? 3 channels. ABC, CBS, NBC, and if the president was on, your night was shot. You had missed Flipper. But Sunday night was magical. It seemed like for everybody but me. Anybody remember what Sunday night was? The Wonderful World of Disney. Remember that, you know, all of a sudden, I would usually see the opening and the animation. Yeah, with the little wand, she'd fly around, and it would say Disney. It's like, oh, let's go to church. And I was like, ugh. I've shared with you, I didn't cry when Old Yeller died, because I never knew Old Yeller died. Never saw him. But you know, the reason why was because my mom and dad knew the most important thing in my life wasn't the Wonderful World of Disney. They knew that the most important thing in my life needed to be my personal relationship with a holy God through Jesus Christ. You see, I know that there were times that they didn't want to come either. Times that my dad had been out of town, been a long day. Times when he didn't even get a chance to eat supper or change clothes. And times when even after that long day, we were there on Wednesday evening. Or we were there on a Sunday night. You know why that was? Because my dad was dedicated enough to make sure that I understood the most important thing in life. And here we are, 50-some years later, and I'm here today because my dad didn't tell me how I should walk with Jesus. He showed me how I should walk with Jesus. Dad, that is the most important thing you can do, because let me make you a promise. If spiritual things are not important to you, they will not be important to your children. Do you hear me? Let me say that one more time. If spiritual and godly things are not important to you, they won't be important to your children. And there's levels of that as well. You know what else will happen? If church attendance, and by the way, church attendance doesn't equal godliness. I want to go on record to say that. Church attendance is just a good way for you to be able to grow. It's a good way for you to be exposed to things. It's a good way for the Holy Spirit to be able to lead you. But let me promise you this, Mom, Dad, if church isn't important to you, it won't be important to your children. And people sit back and say, why are we losing generations of children that don't want to have anything to do with godliness? Let me tell you why. Because you never showed them how important it was in your life. They want to be just like you. You've seen it before. I've watched it. I see a little one right here that I know would love to be just like his daddy. I've seen him put the shoes on. I've seen the ball gloves. I remember at the beach last year, he had his little glove out there. No, he didn't want his little glove. He went up to Blake and he said, I want that glove right there. I want that one you got. It was as big as he was. But helped him use that. But you know why that was? Because he wanted to be like Daddy. He wanted to be like Bubba. He wanted to be that way. So what sort of an example are we to our children today in regard to the absolute most important thing, which is their personal relationship with the Holy God? I have been in hospitals and I have watched people weep over their children because they were afraid they were going to lose them due to a crisis. Would be to God that we would have that same sort of mentality when it comes to their eternal soul. Because let me tell you something, folks. Hell is just as eternal as heaven is. And yes, I said that word. Preachers don't preach much about hell anymore because it's not politically correct. It's not something that people want to hear. Let me tell you something. It might not be politically correct, but it is a fact. And it's coming someday, and it's coming sooner than I believe many of us think that it is. So what sort of an example was Noah? Noah was an example in light of the fact that before his children, he walked with God. Would people say that about you? Dads, would people say that you walk with God? Not only that, you know, Noah was one who witnessed to others. He didn't hide his faith. He told people about it. You can pick that up out of that passage in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. When all of a sudden you compare Noah with those that the word calls his neighbors. You know, his neighbors were corrupt. They were violent. They were wicked. They were evil. But Noah is described in the word as a just and a complete man, walking with God. When people look at you, do they see that? Or do they see a Sunday Christian? Do they see you show up for church, then live like hell the rest of the week? Does your life put forth the example because the Word of God has gotten into you and you live your life by a biblical world view? Listen, these are some hard questions, but these are some hard questions that need to be answered. One of the things that we've talked about and even said on a panel this past week on racial equality, and I still contend that one of the easiest ways to solve that is for everybody to live a godly life the way that they should be, because the Word of God tells us that we're to love one another. God tells us that we're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our might. And then he says, the second is like unto the first in regard to commandment, that you should love your neighbor as yourself. Folks, we need to start loving people. We can't parade around as Christians and actually have racial attitudes. We cannot do that. It is time that we reach out with love. You see, that's what draws people, love, not hate. That's why cults are so are growing like they are. You know why? Because these people are accepted. They're willing to compromise everything to be accepted and loved. Noah was one of those guys who told others about Jesus, the coming Jesus. Remember, this is the Old Testament. This is the time, and if you remember, it says in the Word that he was counted as righteous. So what that meant was essentially that was salvation prior to the time of Jesus. You see, you and I have the glorious opportunity of being alive in this thing called the age of grace, where Jesus has already gone to Calvary's cross. He's already been buried. He's already been risen, and he is coming again. And through his grace, we are saved by his grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Noah told people. Could you imagine the ridicule that he must have gone through? Somebody walking by saying, "What you doing, Noah?" "I'm building an extremely large boat." "Ah, really? Why?" "Well, because it's going to rain." "What's rain?" Yeah, and he began to tell. Can you imagine what it was like? He began to say, "God came to me and told me to build a boat." And I can picture them sitting there going, "Right. This guy, the cheese has slipped off his cracker." I can see it now. And yet, he continued to build. He continued to maintain. Think about what his children went through. Think about the relationships they may have had, where people sit back and say, "What's wrong with your daddy? What's up with him? He's building a boat. What's the story?" And yet, Noah told other people about God Almighty and about his love. Peter said he was a preacher of righteousness in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. He told others that about their sins, and he pointed them to God. And then today, you see what happens is many religious leaders don't want to call sin, sin. They want to call it something else. Want to tiptoe around the tulips. Well, folks, it's time that we called sin exactly what it is, and that is sin. And God hates sin. That doesn't mean he hates the person. He hates the sin. He loves the person, but he detests sin. Never ever in the Bible did the Lord, particularly the Lord Jesus, ever allow sin to just get glazed over. He always called it what it was, and that's what we need to do today in our society. And let me make you a promise. When you do that, you will not be popular. When you call sin, sin, people are like, "Well, what are you, a goody two-shoes?" "Yep, look out for old Preacher Roy, or Preacher David. Or Preacher David, or Preacher David, or Preacher David." See, y'all get that, don't you? Every other staff member we have is David. It's time to start calling sin, sin. Noah witnessed to others. What a great example for dads today is to be that witness in the midst of raising three boys. There's probably times when his boys said, "Yeah, you know, I guess he's just getting a little older and a little more senile." But here's one thing that they did do, and I want you to notice this. They might have thought that, but you know what they did? They followed what their daddy told them. They listened to what their dad had to say. And because of that, here is the final thing I want us to understand about Noah today. Noah won his family to the Lord. Because when it came time that the Lord said, "It's done," you get the animals like I have directed. Matter of fact, here they come. Load them up on the ark. And it says that God shut the door. But guess who was in there with him? It was Noah, it was his wife, and it was his three sons that were on board. Imagine that. They had the opportunity to be saved because of the faithfulness of their daddy. Dad, what are we doing to ensure the salvation of our children? It's going to cost you taking some stands. It's going to cost you not being real popular, even with your children, amidst the time that they're growing up. It is time for you to be dad. You can be friend along the way, and you can be friend later, but you better be dad first, because let me make you this promise. Your children's eternal soul depends on what you do right now. Now tell me that's not a heavy burden to carry. I've talked to people about this, and they're like, man, I don't know. I don't know that I can do it. I make mistakes. Listen, we all, every dad in here, tell me, you've jacked it up a time or two in your life, hadn't you? You've messed up. You know what God says? God says, let's get it straightened out. Let's keep on going. You've messed up sometimes along the way, and you're going to. You're not going to be perfect. But God says, strive that your children might be an example. They're going to follow more about what you do than what you say. So how are you living your life in the midst of them, in their presence? How are you living a godly life? Are you expressing a biblical worldview? In Genesis chapter 7, verse 1, it says, come thou and all thy house into the ark. I've said this many, many times, and I know people might think I'm crazy, but we have been waiting for the Lord to call us out of here, and I believe with all of my heart we are in the final seconds of what we know and understand about life. And it can change just like that. Most of us know that from March, when our whole world turned in less than 24 hours. It's affected our jobs, it affected our families, it affected our meals, it affected our laundry, it affected everything about who we are. COVID-19, in 24 hours, changed your life. Let me tell you something, the next thing we're waiting on is the trumpet to sound and your life to be changed for all of eternity. And here is the question, are you ready? Are you ready? It could happen any moment now. Get ready. Here it comes. It could be today. You see, we keep looking at God as like this thing, and the rapture is something that's way, way, way on out there. Listen, it could be before we get done here. And when we stand before God, how will we answer for the things that we have done? Dad, how will you answer for how you've raised your children? Now, some people sit back and say, well, you know what? I messed things up really, really bad. It's not too late. I don't care what stage or what age your children are, you can make it right starting right now. Because where there is confession and repentance, there is forgiveness. Yeah, some of you may not have been the dad you should have been. You can start being that dad right now. Because I can make you a promise that I have seen children, young men, young women, who all their life, the only thing that they ever wanted was approval from their dad. That's all they ever wanted. And they didn't seem to get it. It's time to start giving that approval. Not in the things of sin, not in those sort of ways, but in the way of love. You know, kids need daddy to play ball with them. Kids need daddy to play in the sand with them. Kids need daddy to be at those ball games. Kids need daddy to be that helping hand and to teach and to show them along the way. That is what our children need. They don't need you to shovel them off somewhere else and hand them, you know, a couple of $100. Listen, the money ain't worth it. It's not worth losing your children over. Be a part of their lives. We have some wonderful teachers in our midst that go out and teach school on a daily basis. And when they were in the classroom, they saw children who had a daddy, but they really didn't have a daddy because they weren't present. They didn't function as part of their lives. And you talk about something that is heartbreaking, that is something that is heartbreaking. See, Noah's family members were his only converts along the way. I've said this a bunch of times. I said, if you were sitting on a pulpit committee and you were looking at Noah's resume, you would probably shove it off in the garbage. Okay, this dude's preached for all these years, and the only people that ever came to know the Lord was his family.
I've said this a bunch as well, that my mama would, if she saw me floundering like that, she'd come get saved a couple of Sundays somewhere, just so, that's just the way mama is. They want to make sure that their children feel affirmed and encouraged along the way. Those were his only converts. But what a day for Noah when God said, go into the ark. And he shut the door, because guess who was there? Guess who was saved along with him? His wife and three sons. We may be sitting here today, and we may know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and I'll tell you something that just grates on me, is when people who have children and they know their children are wayward, and they even come and talk to me and they say, well, I have a wayward son or I have a wayward daughter. What should I do? And I said, first thing you need to do is start getting involved in their life. Start being a part of their life. I really don't want to say anything because I don't want to make them mad. It is time to start making some people mad for the glory of God. I've said before, I'm going to be a parent right now. I'll be a friend later. Because what children learn from you is what they will carry into all of eternity. This was not an easy time for Noah to be a father, and let me tell you, it is not an easy time in 2020 to be a father either, because of all the challenges that go forth. But here's what I want you to know today, that God's grace is sufficient for you. Listen, I've had some heartfelt talks with some of you that are even right here in this room. And you have felt like you have crashed and burned, and you have realized that God's grace is sufficient. He will get us through. He will give us another chance. But he said, don't stop. You keep on trying. May God enable us to do the most important thing, and that most important thing is that we win our families to Jesus Christ. Plain and simple. You know who your family's going to listen to more than anybody? You. And some people say, I just have a hard time talking to my son. Why? I just have a hard time talking to my daughter. What for? You don't have a hard time talking to your daughter's boyfriend when he comes by the house, do you? When you're cleaning your guns, or when they walk out the door and you're sitting there going, the suspect is wearing a green jacket and... you don't have any trouble doing those things. If you love them, listen. If you love your children, live for Jesus. Point them to Jesus, that they might have eternal life in the place that God has prepared for them. Listen, it's hard to point somebody to Jesus if you don't know him yourself. Today the question is, do you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life? I'm going to ask our wind ensemble if they would to take their place. In just a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation. It is not my invitation. It is God's invitation to you. What has he said to you? What has he spoken into your heart about today? For some of you, God has affirmed you and said, you're doing good. Don't quit. Don't quit. For some of you, the Lord has said, you have completely jacked this up, but it's all right. I can fix it. I'll use you to fix it. Some of you here today are so completely indifferent when it comes to your children, or maybe in our watching audience, and you have just disconnected. You haven't been a part of their life. You've been more afraid that they're going to get upset with you, because you tell them that sin is sin in their life. It is time, Dad, for you to stand up. It is time for you to be a part of their life. It is time for you to point them to Jesus Christ. And they may sit back and say, you hadn't been a really good example. That's when you can say, I haven't. But by the grace of God, today is a new day. And today we want to change that. And I love you and I care about you and I don't want to see you spend an eternity in hell. Have you begun a relationship with a holy God through Jesus Christ? If not, I am begging you today, if you would just bow your head and say, Lord Jesus, I realize that today I'm a sinner. And there's forgiveness in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I confess my sin before you. Come into my life and save my soul. Now listen, if you did that and you meant it with all of your heart, let me make you a promise that in heaven the Lamb's Book of Life has been opened and your name has been written and you are a believer. Now start living by the instruction book. People say, kids don't come with an instruction book. Yep, they do. It's called the Bible, because when you get that right, everything else takes care of itself. Maybe you're here today and you know the Lord. You know Him, but you haven't been living for Him in the way that you should. Today's a new day. Today is a day of a second chance for you. And if that's you, I'm just simply going to get you to just bow your head where you are and say, Lord Jesus, I know you, I love you, and I have completely messed this up. Help me, Lord. Guide me to get it right in my life, that I might be an example to my children, a godly example to my children. Help me, Lord, to live a biblical worldview, loving you, trusting you, and being an example to my children. Now I say, if you've prayed either of those prayers, God is going to work in your heart and in your life. The question is, will you allow Him to do so from here on out? Listen, if you need to speak with me, I'll be here afterwards. Again, we're trying to social distance as best as possible. Contact me. If you're in our viewing audience and you trusted Christ today, please contact us at the website, which is www.oakridgecbc.org, because we would love to get you some follow-up information and help you begin to grow in your relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If there's something we can help you with, please don't hesitate to let us know. We're going to have this time of commitment. We're going to ask our wind ensemble to play. Then I'm going to close us out with a couple of announcements. So in an attitude of prayer, as we look to the Lord in prayer, as our wind ensemble plays, you do business with God. I'll be back in just a moment. Amen. We want to thank you for taking the time to join us today. Those in our multi-purpose center, those out on the lawn, those over in the sanctuary, thank you for coming and for social distancing and being able to be together as best we can during this time of pandemic. As we've been saying before, we're not passing any offering plates or anything like that, because that would obviously be high touch. So for those, in just a moment, I'm going to have a word of thanksgiving for our offering. But if you're in the multi-purpose center here, the box that is on the table, as you go out the door, you can drop your offering in there. If you're out on the lawn, you'll see the table over by the bicycle rack and sidewalk that leads up to the shopping center. You can drop it in there. There'll also be somebody there as you exit the parking lot. You could drop it in with them. Or if you are in our sanctuary watching by simulcast, you can just put that in the offering plate down on the offering table in front of the pulpit. If you're watching online at home, please consider contributing. We've asked our folks who've done a fantastic job in maintaining their giving that they might be a blessing and that the ministries of Central Baptist Church have the opportunity to go forward. So if you're at home and you're still not getting out, know that we love you. We're praying for you. There are ways that you can give as well. If you prefer to bring an offering by the church, our office hours are from 9 to 4 Monday through Thursday. If you can, if you're bringing it by, please try to do that by lunchtime on Wednesday. That helps out with the accounting. You can also mail it in. Our address is Central Baptist Church, P.O. Box 533, Oak Ridge, North Carolina 27310. Or the quick and easy way is you can just go over to our website, which is www.oakridgecbc.org, and there is a giving tab there. You can click that, and everything will walk you through the steps to be able to give. Thank you so much for all that you've done amidst the pandemic to continue to just make our light so shine that the Savior might be seen. A couple of things that we've got coming up. As soon as we can get communion supplies in, we have ordered some of those. It'll probably be sometime in the month of July. We do want to try to have a communion. This will be done with the hermetically sealed two-tab communion type set. So we'll keep folks posted as to when we'll be able to do that. A lot of those supplies have been back ordered based on where we are right now. So we're going to do the best we can with that. We do look to have a baptism planned coming up here very, very shortly. We may not be doing it here at the church, but when we get it lined up, what we're looking to do is we may be at somebody's house with a swimming pool, but we'll bring it to you live by way of Facebook, so you'll have that opportunity to be able to join us that way as well. So all I can say is this, that y'all help me out because it's been a while. You ready? God is good, and all the time, God really is good. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer, and may God bless you on this Father's Day. Reach out to Dad if he's not near you. Give him a call. If Dad has gone on to be with the Lord, be sure that you thank the Lord for the fact that Dad raised you in a godly way. Part of the reason that you're here or listening today is because you had a daddy who showed you by way of an example. Let's pray together. Father, you're good to us. We thank you so much that you have given us the privilege to be called dads. But Lord, along with that privilege comes great responsibility. Help us, Lord, to follow the examples that we read about in your word with Noah. Lord, we know there'll be tough times. We know there'll be discouraging times. And Father, even in the midst of this crazy world, we thank you for the example of Noah, whose world was just as crazy as the one we're living in right now. Lord, help us to continue to occupy until you come. And when we see you, Father, we pray that we will truly hear, well done, good and faithful sermon. May you give us a great blessing. May we be a blessing to others as we go away from this place today, as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.